You turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. We have a ton to cover this morning, and I'm going to tell you this is going to be a very different type of service from what we usually do. The message is going to be abbreviated this morning because there are several other things we need to talk about and cover this morning. And so, but we do have a ton to cover. But the title message this morning is, who is Marble Hill Baptist Church? Who is Marble Hill Baptist Church? You can go back to the other slide. You're just stay on that for a little while, Julie. Thank you. Yeah, like I said, it's going to be a little different this morning. So who is Marble Hill Baptist Church? And we're going to go ahead and begin with a word of prayer as we get started this morning. Father, we thank you, God, as always, so much, God, for being able to come together like this, Lord, to be able to meet and assemble. And God, just to be able to worship you, to pray to you, to hear your word expounded and declared, to hear the gospel declared. God, that we have this opportunity, God, to evangelize, to disciple. God, that's what it's all about. That's what we are called to do, is to make disciples, to be disciples, to follow you and to make disciples. And so, Father, I pray that you would bless us this morning, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would challenge us. God, I believe this morning that not one person will leave this building this morning without feeling a challenge placed upon them, myself included. And so, God, I pray that that would be so clear this morning, that God, you would help us to grow. And God, we get comfortable, we get complacent, we just kind of go with the flow. It's all of our natural tendency. But God, we need to be awakened. We need to be stirred. And I pray that you would stir each one of us this morning through this message, through the challenge that will be issued. And that God, that you would really get our attention this morning, that Lord, we can settle some things in our mind and our heart and here in our congregation. But we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be here this morning once again and pray your blessing. Pray for the filling and the possession of your Holy Spirit, that you would take possession of each one of us, God, and fill us and lead us, that everything we do, God, would be Spirit-led, Spirit-driven, that we would walk in the Spirit, that we would live in the Spirit. God, that is where our power is found. We are powerless without you, without your Holy Spirit. So we pray this would be a Spirit-filled service here this morning. We pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So this sounds like a strange question. Who is Marble Hill Baptist Church? You look around, you're like, well, it's even more strange. I've been a member of this church for over 25 years. You think I might have asked this earlier, you know, if I had a question about it. I'm coming up upon my 10th year as the pastor of Marble Hill. And in 2023, so not this coming November, but the next November, our church is going to celebrate its 75th year as a church, going back to 1948, our 75th year. So think about those factors. We're also talking and teaching a lot right now on discipleship. In our adult Sunday school class, we're going through Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship. We're thinking a lot about discipleship. Wednesday nights, we're going through the book that Kenny and Caleb Smith wrote called Discipleship. It's the accomplishing the church's mission through pre-evangelism, evangelism, and discipleship, or disciple-making, accomplishing the church's mission through pre-evangelism, evangelism, and discipleship, about making disciples. So all of this is kind of on our mind, thinking about what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ, to be a student of Christ, to follow Christ? What does that mean? So we've been talking a lot about that. We also have some decisions to make even this morning. We have some decisions coming up to make as a church. We have some decisions to make this morning about purchasing a bus. It's a large purchase. We're looking at buying a bus. It's $12,000. That's a lot of money to me. It may not be to you. If not, please make a donation and you can, you know, we won't even have to vote on it. But that's a lot of money. And I want us to, you know, we have to really think about, we're pretty, I don't want to say that we're stingy or something. I mean, we're obviously a generous church, but it, you know, we're very shrewd in how we spend our money. We have to be. We're a small congregation. If we're going to, we could waste our money and not accomplish anything as a church. We have to be shrewd in what we do. And so that's part of what we're going to be talking about this morning. But we have decisions to make as a church this morning. Purchasing a bus, it's a large purchase. I think it's an excellent deal. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but it's a large purchase. We have some things to discuss this morning about the future plans for utilizing our old church building for ministry, for accomplishing the church's mission to make disciples of Christ. About what, I get asked that question all the time, and you know, what are we doing with the old building? What are our plans? What do we plan to do with that resource? We have a decision to make about how to utilize this. We're going to finalize our proposed budget tonight with the ministers and deacons, with the church leaders. We're going to finalize and propose we're going to finalize a proposed budget for the rest of 2023 tonight that we're going to hand out for review this week, and it'll be voted on in the next few Sundays, and so everybody will have an opportunity to you know, why are we even doing that? Why does this go out to everybody, to every member of the church, to look over this for us to vote on? Why do we do things the way that we do them? As we make these decisions, how we go about these decisions, why do we go about it that way? And so as we think about that this morning, you know, if we approve the purchase of this bus, and you were to see it sitting out, you know, we're going to, you know, put our church name on it. So forget that for a second. If someone were to walk up and say, who owns this bus? What's the answer? Do you own it? Do I own it? You'd say, well, it belongs to Marble Hill Baptist Church. Well, that comes to this question. And who is Marble Hill Baptist Church? Who's that? This thing's parked in front of a fire hydrant. Who's? I need to talk to somebody. Well, come talk to this metal building in Friendsville. Go and tell that building, get your bus out of this fire zone. No, who does this belong to? And it goes a lot deeper than that. Who owns the bus? Think about ownership. Who owns the van that we own right now? Who wants to own that thing? Who's responsible for it? Hey, we got to change the oil. Who do I see about getting the oil changed? The property. We have, what, over 10 acres? We got a cemetery. We have an old building. We have this building. We have this property. Who owns this? Who does it belong to? To whom does it belong? And who is responsible for it? Are you responsible for it? Are you meeting your responsibilities? Or are you failing? That's an objective. Am I meeting my responsibilities, or am I failing to meet my responsibilities? Let me ask a deeper question. Who's accountable for it? We are blessed as a church. But to whom much is given, finish it. Much is required. Who's accountable for how that van is used or not used? Who's accountable for how this bus will be used or not used? Who's accountable for how this building is used or not used? Who's accountable for how the old church building is used or not used? Used or maybe even abused? These are important questions that we need to think about. We need to have already thought about. But we need to think about who owns this? Who's responsible? Who's accountable? These questions, I mean, you can't, when your question is, if someone, you know, burns this church down, well, who's, you know, we need it, you know, we need to fumble around and say, well, we're not really sure. That needs a clear black and white answer. Yes, this is who owns it. Here's the list. This is who owns it. This is who's responsible. This is who's accountable. These questions demand a clear black and white answer. Also today, you kind of set that aside for a moment, but on top of that, today we're seeing an identity crisis in our society. Many people right now are trying to discover themselves or rediscover themselves, asking the question, who am I? Who are they really? Trying to find themselves. That sounds like a crazy, I'm trying to find myself. That sounds like such a crazy, well, you're right here. You know, look in the mirror. You're here trying to find yourself. We're seeing that in our society. And people are not, in an attempt to try to find themselves, they are forgetting themselves. They don't know who they are. In trying to reestablish a new identity, they're losing their identity. I listened to a talk this week about human dignity. That is so huge. That is enormous. What is the basis for human dignity? What is human dignity? Where is it derived from? What is the basis for it? Who are we and what are we? Well, as you think about that question this morning, who are you? Who are you really? How would you describe yourself? Someone said, well, who are you? How would you describe yourself? How would I describe myself? Who am I? Who are you? And here's the big question, who are we? Is there a we? Or is this just a collection of individuals? And if there is a we, who are we? Who is Marble Baptist Church? Who are we? And in what sense are we a we? These are the questions I want to raise this morning. Let me rephrase that. These are the questions I want to begin to raise this morning. Let me be a little more explicit. I read an article this past week. It's a little bit dated, 2011. Written by a guy named Al Jackson. It's entitled, Meaningless Membership, A Southern Baptist Perspective. He begins by saying, what do Britney Spears, Brad Pitt, Bill Clinton, and Al Gore have in common? All four have been members of Southern Baptist churches. The meaningless of membership. Let me hit you with a statistic. This was 2011. I'm sure that the percentage has not changed. The overall number has gone up, probably up and down. But I want you to listen to this. Southern Baptist Church members, we are the largest, you've heard this recently, the largest Protestant denomination in the world is the Southern Baptist Convention. In 2011, and this when this article was written, 16 million members. That is enormous. Do you know what 16 million followers of Christ can do? But I want you to listen to this. 16 million members. But on your typical Sunday, 6 million show up to church. That's about 40%. Where's the 10 million? That's a huge problem. Let me tell you what we're doing eternally. There are 10 million people who think they're okay. They're not. They're not. 16 million Southern Baptist Church members, 6 million show up on a Sunday. He goes on to quote a revivalist, Southern Baptist revivalist, Vance Havner. He said this about the Southern Baptists. He said, we Southern Baptists are many, but we're not much. That's a fair assessment. We're many. There's a lot of us, but there ain't much to us. That's hollow and empty. He was talking about in 1954, they had a push in the Southern Baptist Convention, convention-wide, to add 1 million new members to Sunday school rolls in 1954. The initiative was called A Million More in 54. Havner famously said, if we get 1 million more like we got in 54, we're sunk. We're talking about quantity and quality. We have a big quantity. Big and high on quantity, pathetically low on quality. And I want to say this morning, we're a part of that at Marble Hill. But let me listen close to the next two words I say, for now. That's going to change. That's going to change, starting right now. That may be the statistic, and I can't change that. I won't be a part of it. I'll be the exception to it. Hopefully it changes convention-wide, but it's going to change here. What's an inactive member? That's in our bylaws. You know what an inactive member is? A contradiction in terms. It's nothing. I'm an assembler who doesn't assemble. I'm not putting my name on that. We need members. Members who are here, who are part of the church, the assembly. An assemblyman that doesn't assemble is not part of the assembly. We're part of the problem for now, but not for long. I see all these things converging on this morning, but it is all eclipsed when we turn to passages like Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. This passage, but also passages like that. If you go to the next slide, Julie. Who is Marble Hill Baptist Church? Listen to this statement. And I don't want to rip this out of context, but it's kind of almost like a somewhat of an isolated statement within the passage of Scripture. Go back and read the entire chapter. But the book of Hebrews is about challenging believers to say, in the face of persecution, to say, stand strong. That's where we get the passage that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some have done, but do so even more as we see the day approaching. You're commanded to be here. When we assemble, you're commanded to be here. When you're not here, you're disobedient. That's a huge deal. That's what that, and that's the context of Hebrews chapter 13. He's saying, don't turn back to Judaism. Don't run away from the persecution. Stay true to Christ. And in the context of that, he says this, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Now, hey, this 2022 in America, I'm already enraged. Submit my people ruling over me, submitting myself. I'm an American. Are you a Christian? I'm not asking your opinion on this text. I don't care what your opinion is. Obedient, disobedient. That's your decision. You don't get to decide what Christ requires. And by the way, you may be an American. You're also a slave of Christ. You belong to him. And he doesn't care. You're not in charge. He's in charge. Well, I don't care. And he doesn't care. Be obedient. And don't try to lie to me and say you can't be obedient. You can always be obedient. Without exception, without qualification, you can always be obedient. But, you can always be obedient. It's time to be honest about this. We want to make everything gray. It's not gray. It's black and white. It really is. And we're covering some of that on Sunday mornings in our Sunday school class. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Let me go on. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Obey, submit yourself, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that's unprofitable for you. Who are them and you and they? You know, this sounds pretty important. This sounds pretty serious. We need to know who this is talking to, who this is talking about. Is this addressing me? And in what capacity? Is this addressing you? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Who are them? It's referring to church leaders. Them that have the rule over you, pastors, bishops, shepherds, overseers, all those terms are used interchangeably. Overseeing what? Overseeing who? Shepherding who? Shepherding what? Pastors, bishops, shepherds, overseers, those who have the rule over you. Over who? Over you. Members of the church. Members of the flock, of the local assembly. The church. Church means the assembly. Over the local assembly of believers. Those who are saved. Who is part of the universal church? Every single person who has been saved and born again, that's the universal church. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the local church, which is a manifestation of the universal body of Christ. That's what this is this morning. This is a visible gathering and manifestation of the universal body of Christ that's meeting in this location, at this time, at this place. That's you. That's the church. When he goes on and says, so that's saying that you are to, members of the church, members of the local body are to submit themselves and obey the leadership. And he goes on and says, for they watch for your souls. And this is the part that has my absolute, undivided, full of tension. As they that must give an account. That hits me. I have to give an account. You don't. Maybe Bill, Justin, Kenny are included in this, Jake. Everybody else is off the hook. I'm on the hook. Now, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will all give an account for our lives. Husbands, fathers, you're going to give an account for your household. You're going to give an account for yourself and for your household. Your wife will not give an account for your household the way you will. Oh, you get to be in charge. You also get to be accountable and responsible. Our country wants to say, oh, no, there's no distinctions between genders. On the day of judgment, there will be a distinction between husbands and wives. The judgment will come. Wives, you may go. Husbands, you will stay. You're going to give an account for the family. I'm going to give an account for my family. And I'm going to give an account for this family. An account that you're not going to give. That's why I'm the one preaching this message, because I'm on the hook. And let me tell you something, I will give an account. I have to be ready and prepared to give that account. That has my full and undivided attention. As they that must give an account to who? Give an account to the infinite God. who this body, give an account to Christ, who bought this group with his blood. What do I do with them? I better have an answer for what I did and why I did it, and it better be detailed. And it better be right. This sounds pretty serious. This sounds pretty important. And so I have to ask the question, for whose souls am I responsible for in this room? I see a large group of people here. Am I responsible for your soul? Is that not what this passage says? For they watch for your souls as they must give an account. I have to give an account for watching for your soul. I need to know who's on my list. For whom am I going to, whose names are going to be brought up to me by Christ to say, what did you do with this person and this person? Who's on that list and who's not? And not everyone's on that list without question. I must know, because I must give an account. Who will I give an account to watch over? And here's the other part. Who is responsible for obeying and submitting to my leadership? Are you? Is everyone in this room obedient and responsible? Is responsible to obey my leadership? Who is responsible for obeying and submitting my leadership? By the way, I'm the one that has to give an account, but you're on this too. Are you submitting and obeying my leadership? If you're not, you're in disobedience. If I'm not watching over your soul, I'm in disobedience. But who am I? I'm not talking to everyone. I'm talking to some of you. But let's work that out a little bit further. Who is responsible for obeying and submitting to my leadership, and for whom am I responsible for their soul? A guy on the street? Well, no. What about a Christian on the street? A random Christian at Walmart, is he on the hook to obey and submit to my authority, and do I have to watch for his soul? Is that what this is saying? He's a Christian. He's part of the universal body of Christ. I'm a pastor within the body of Christ. So is he accountable to me? No. He's not. How about a visitor this morning? I don't see anybody here, maybe here for the first, but if you're here for the first time, are you responsible for submitting and submitting to my leadership and obeying what I say? Am I accountable for your soul? Are you on the list because you visited this morning? Well, no, not a visitor coming for the first time. Okay, how about the second time? 2 Sundays, 3 Sundays, 6 months, a year. At what point do you go on my list of souls of which I must give an account? That sounds very gray. It has to be black and white. This has serious implications. This has very specific implications. Now, let me make a distinction here that's very important. I love everyone who walks through that door. I'm called to love every person who walks through that door. And to some extent, I am responsible for them to love my neighbor as I love myself, to share the gospel with them, to share it with my words, but also with my life. That's universal. But that is not what this is talking about. There's other passages and I want to say this. I love every person who attends this church, members, non-members, visitors, everybody. I love everyone inside of this congregation. I want you to feel like, oh, well, Jordan doesn't love me, doesn't care about me. He's not going to have to give an account for me. I love you. I love you deeply. I would do anything for you. But there is a distinction here that we have to recognize, that you have to recognize. There are decisions to be made by me and by you. I love everyone who walks through that door, no question. But I will not give an account for everyone who walks through that door. I won't. That's not what this is saying. A visitor stumbles in here on Easter Sunday morning, I'll give an account in regard to if I share the gospel with them or not, but I'm not going to give an account for their soul and how they live their life. Basically, they can do whatever they want to. They're not part of this family. Jake Murray, I love your kids, but I'm not responsible for your kids. You know, where are they at in the building right now? I care in one capacity, but in another, they're your kids. Now, I care about my kids on a different level. It doesn't mean I love Macy and Maddie and Barry and Chris. It doesn't mean I love them more, but I have an accountability to them that I don't have to Jake and Margaret's kids. And the same is true here. I love every person that walks in the door, but I am not accountable for every person that walks in the doors of this church. But I'm saying all this morning to say this: membership is not meaningless. Membership is not meaningless. When we get to the day of judgment, we're going to find out how meaningful it is. It's more meaningful than we realize. Membership matters. Because when you are a member of this church, when you covenant with this church, when you join this church, I'm responsible for you. And you're accountable to me, and I'm accountable to you. There's a commitment there that is being made. If that commitment's not made, you can basically do whatever you want. Now, you're going to give an account to Christ. He's your creator. But it's a whole different relationship about how you live your life and what you do if you're not a member of this church versus if you are. Does that make sense? Membership matters. As we close this morning, I'm going to ask Bill if he would come and get a song. Like I said, we have to be abbreviated. We have other things we got to cover this morning that ties right into this. It's so important. Ask Margaret and Tori to come as well. Ask everybody to stand. For all the reasons that I've just mentioned, we must be a covenant people. There has to be a tangible, black and white relationship to where when I say, who owns this bus? We know who owns this bus. This person, this person, this person, this person. How about them? No. We have to know this. And that's on the most absolute basic level. But I need to know, what is the list of people for whom I'm going to have to give an account for their soul? I have to know that list. That has to be clear, and it's not clear today. We must be a covenant people, committed, accountable, responsible followers of Christ, because ultimately, all of this, your responsibility to me, my responsibility to you, ultimately goes back to, we're all responsible to Christ. But He has set up His church in this way so we can watch for one another. You know how many times this church has pulled me back in? I wanted to go back to my old ways. I wanted to get angry. I wanted to fall into lust. But I thought, you know, just Christ alone should be enough. But I'm like, what about our congregation? What about, I made a commitment. I signed a covenant with this church, and there's times I've failed, and you're going to fail in that, but I'm giving it my all. I'm giving it my effort. And there are times that I was going to fall into that, and I remembered I made a covenant with these people. How I conduct myself out here, it's always on the forefront of my mind. I'm representing Christ, and I'm representing Marble Hill Baptist Church in that order. But hey, that second one's really important. We must be a covenant people, committed, accountable, responsible followers of Christ, holding each other accountable. Followers of Christ who are actively following. A follower of Christ who's inactively following, are you crazy? I'm a follower of Christ. He's headed north, but I'm going south. But I'm a follower of Christ. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. That's a contradiction in terms. I've repented of my sin. That's what the gospel is. We repent from our sin, we turn to Christ, and we follow Christ. Not we followed Him 30 years ago for 5 minutes in a prayer and then resumed our ways. Are you crazy? You think you're saved? Are you crazy? You're not saved. We follow Christ. We follow Him all the way to heaven. He's in heaven, and we're following Him there. But if we're not following Him, everybody get ready for this. If we're not following Christ, we're not followers of Christ. Boy, that's controversial. Are you kidding me? Are we insane? Are you following Christ? We are to be committed, accountable, responsible followers of Christ. We hold each other accountable. Who is MHBC? Who is Marble Hill Baptist Church? Who are you? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? Make a decision. I'm tired of being decided. Make a decision. How do you want to live your life? Choose. Are you on the same path as the other people in this room? If not, go your own way. That's fine. But we're not going to say we're all going together and you're going that way and we're going this way. No, we're not. There's been a separation there by your choice. How do you want to live? And you know what? Really, those aren't... Who do you want to be? How do you want to live? Those are not Christian questions. The answer to that is, who cares? I don't care who you want to be or how you want to live. You're a Christian. Supposedly you're a Christian. Let me change my question. Who does Christ want you to be? And how does Christ want you to live? That's the answer you're looking for. Oh, you have an opinion that differs from that? I don't care. You're not the master. You're not the Lord. You're not the boss. He's the boss. You do what the boss says. And by the way, the boss knows a whole lot better than you do. If you contradict him, you're by definition wrong. If you belong to him, he's the master and Lord. I'm tired of playing games. Are you? Let's get down to business. That's what this morning's about. In the coming weeks, we're going to go through our church covenant line by line. And everybody in this room is going to know what they're signing up for. And you say, well, I've already signed up. Well, you're going to sign again, but this time you're going to really sign. We're going to go through the church covenant. Most probably everybody here, if you went through new members class, you were headed to church covenant, you're going to be headed to a different church covenant. And this one at the bottom is going to have a signature line for your signature, for my signature. And I'm going to scan that in, and I'm going to know exactly for whom I must give an account on the day of judgment and for whom I'm not giving an account on the day of judgment. And those are the members of Marble Hill, end of list. We're going to change our bylaws. And by the way, that covenant, we're going to go through it carefully because you're going to be held accountable to it. And so am I. And we're going to find out. We might have to. How many members of Marble Hill got? The answer might be 15. And that's perfectly fine. You know how much better that is? We got 16 million Southern. No, you don't. We got 6 million, maybe not even that. How many do we really have? Who is Marble Hill Baptist Church? We're going to clear our roles. And if you're going to be a member of this church, be a member of this church. But once you sign that covenant, go ahead and get this phrase out of your mouth. That's none of your business. It's now my business. My life is your business. Your life is my business. That's what it means to be part of a church. And by the way, it's all voluntary. You don't have to sign up for this. It's voluntary. But if you voluntarily do it, being held accountable to it is no longer voluntary. If there's a problem there, and we'll sit down and talk through that. And if there's a problem there, we're going to sit down and talk about it. Expect a knock at the door. Not a phone call, not a text, a knock at the door. And if there's a problem with that covenant, we're going to get it straightened out in your living room or in my living room. There's going to be accountability. If there's a problem here, we're going to get that straightened out in my living room or in your living room or in this building. In the coming weeks, we're going to go through the church covenant line by line on Sunday mornings. I say all that this morning to say this, a decision is coming. And if you're here, you say, I've been a member of this church for 50 years. You're going to make me. Joel, what you're going to do is you're going to recommit yourself to the covenant which you signed up for. You're still a lifelong member. Are you a charter member, June, of this church? Did you start in 48? Not quite a charter member. So, yeah, she was probably not born yet, I don't think. So that's a good reason. But understand, I mean, but you are going to sign to say, I want to find out from you, are you still in? You don't have to be, and you can attend the church. I will love you to death. You do not have to do this. But don't you understand something? Christ expects you to do it. And if not this church, a church. You cannot live out the Christian life outside the local church. You have to live in disobedience on so many points, it's crazy. The whole New Testament assumes you're a member, an active member, loving one another, caring for one another, working together, part of a body, that you're going to be part of that. The New Testament assumes that for you to be an obedient Christian. A decision is coming. And I want to encourage you this morning, count the cost. But I also want to say this, there's a decision right now too. Maybe right now you need to get your mind right, you need to get your heart right and say, you need to count the cost. Are you willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to say, I'm committed? Whatever it takes, I'm committed. Yes or no? We're going to find out. And you will be held accountable. I'm warning you. I cannot warn you enough. You will be held accountable and I'll be held accountable. Don't sign that line if you don't mean it. I love you too much. Do not sign the dotted line if you don't mean it. But if you do, sign it and let's go. As we sing together, we're going to sing, what page do you have, Bill?
157.
Page 157. Trust and obey.